This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back row and chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Yo.
Guess who's back?
Yeah, I've been away.
I wish I had that song, Guess Who's Back.
Well, you should get a little
back
thing.
Again.
The amount of times it happens, you should get the little thing that says that. It could be a little jingle thing or whatever they're called. That could be my thing.
The king is back. It's back, current chill. It's 4 p.m. on Friday.
It is.
The weather is, turns out, I don't know, we're doing different things today. It's like raining and then it's sunny. I'm like constantly taking my clothes on and off.
I think the weather hates me personally because yesterday, 2 days ago, I had a t-shirt on. And it poured with rain and was freezing. And then I said, okay, weather, that's how you're going to play me. I'm going to be ready for you. And I put on a jumper and a leather jacket yesterday. And then it was sunny for most of the day.
You should do like a weather blog or something.
No, I think
the weather.
You know, personally, I think the weather actually hates me. I think like it's doing it to me on purpose.
It's
like I genuinely think that.
Okay, well, test it out. Maybe.
I did, because this morning I just had on a t-shirt. It started raining, so I put my hoodie on and my jacket, and now it's sunny. Now it's like I'm on a fucking beach.
Oh my gosh, Noel Clark controls the weather or antagonizes the weather.
Yeah, he's antagonizing me.
So if you have like a wedding or something that you need planned, just make sure Noel wears the opposite and then you'll get the right weather.
Exactly.
Boom.
I think it's Mother Nature's doing it to me.
Mother Nature.
She hates me.
Is a bitch. Right, we've got a really packed show. We've got loads of guests coming on later on. We've got entertainment news, what's coming up, what's coming out, what's films that have been announced and TV shows that have been commissioned.
Sounds good.
And all that jazz. We've got loads of music. Well, obviously it's my very eclectic taste in movie soundtracks.
I'm sure it's going to be great until you play it and then I'll hate it as usual. But
well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if I can, you know, I always know when you're on, I'm like, okay, step up the game. Just come on, let's find some interesting stuff. You've been away and a couple weeks.
Away.
Busy times.
Very busy times, doing some busy stuff for busyness.
Which you can't talk about.
No, I can't tell anyone. That's the weirdest thing about it. Everyone thinks I'm on some fucking holiday because there's pictures of the beach and stuff like that. I've actually been working, but I can't tell you what I've been doing, which is the problem.
Were you on Love Island? Celebrity Love Island?
I was.
I cracked it.
And I found love with a coconut.
Oh, exclusive. Back row and chill. Right, okay. I'm going to kick off today with a bit of Jackson 5, going back to the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, great.
Just because I love it. And
that's not bad.
Yeah, I know, right? We're starting off on an easy one. Nice and safe.
I missed you, man.
I missed you too.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was a very good. Yeah. That was a very good song.
You can't not elevates the mood.
Classic
song. Brilliant. Well done. Right, I think it's a bit of time now for entertainment news. So we're just going to get right into that. It's the entertainment news on Background Chill.
Yeah. Have you got a thing for it?
I just played it.
Oh, play it again.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, play it again.
Time for the entertainment news on Background Chill.
That's great, man. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done. I'm impressed with that.
The producers were like, put your headphones on, Noel, and then you'll hear all the keys.
I don't wear headphones. You know, are these my headphones? I thought it was a fucking mouse pad here. Why is there a mouse here? I see it's a headphone.
See headphones, and then you're playing on myself.
I don't wear headphones. Anyway, let's do it.
Right, okay.
Hit me, what we got?
It's Cannes Film Festival kicked off at the moment.
Yes, or Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes, however, yeah. Which way?
Cannes. Yeah. Cannes Film Festival, mate.
Cannes. Yeah. It's known for being a bit larti-tar, and
I hate it.
It's, you hate it? Have you been down?
Yeah, I've been loads of times, and I just don't like it, man. Just don't like it.
Right. Well, the Emoji Movie has gate crashed. They weren't invited, obviously, from Sony.
Yeah.
So they've decided to just, like, crash all the parties.
Great,
and,
as they should.
Yeah, so they've, like, got this huge... inflatable emojis that they've got going down the river. And, like, they're just crashing all these people dressed up as a massive emojis. All these really pissed off producers.
I can imagine.
So that was made me chuckle. Hackers. Now, this is an interesting one.
Yes.
Because obviously recently in the news, all these NHS computers have been gone down because of like hackers and viral stuff. So now
it's terrible.
There are pirates, actual video pirates, which have stolen a Disney movie and they are holding it to ransom for Disney. And they say they're
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Literally Pirates of the Caribbean style.
But I think the film is Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think, it's either Pirates of the Caribbean or possibly Star Wars. And then,
oh man, it's not Star Wars. Yeah. Disney would go ape.
Well, someone said that if it was Pirates of the Caribbean, they'd let it slide. If it was Star Wars, they'd just pay
it. I heard it was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I think it's Pirates, but they're going to, the hacker says that they're going to
release it in segments.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes of the film, unless they pay a ransom, they'll keep releasing minutes of the film until the ransom is paid.
Disney ain't going to pay that.
Yeah.
If I'm Disney, I'm like, fuck you, I'm not paying shit.
And they want it in Bitcoin. I mean, come on, dude, like.
Dude, that Bitcoin shit is worth money, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't get it myself, but it's a currency and it's worth money. It's worth.
I mean, maybe to the hacker geeks, they're like, oh my god, I got like 200 bitcoins.
Yeah, because also it'll be untraceable once it's gone on the internet and it'll be there. They can move it around and stuff
For sure, yeah, it's not like paper.
If I'm Disney, I ain't paying shit.
Well, I think it's quite ironic that a pirate movie has been pirated itself. Yeah. I don't know what Disney can do there.
They said they're not paying. I think I saw this on the news and they said they're not going to pay.
They're not going to pay. They're just going to release it early.
I think people will still see it anyway.
Interesting. Are you a fan of Zac Efron?
He doesn't offend me.
Okay, that's a nice neutral. Yeah, I'm a fan. I think he did really good in that 17 again.
17
with
again.
Matthew Perry. He played Matthew Perry, basically shrinks back into a teenager. And he's Zac Efron.
Never. You wish, Matthew Perry. Yeah. You absolutely wish.
Well, he's supposed to be that he's like, you know, he's lost his way. He's middle-aged. He doesn't look anything like Zac Efron. And he goes back to being 17. He goes back to high school with his kids.
Yeah.
And he finds out that his daughter's a bit of a slut and his son is getting bullied, whereas he used to be like the head jock. Yeah. So he has to like try and befriend his son.
When you say daughter's a bit of a slut, you mean she's a free-thinking young lady?
Yeah.
I don't think we slut shame anymore.
Oh, man.
It's 2017, isn't it?
You know what I mean. She's shocked that his little daughter
I'm
is
more
like
shocked that they
sexually
actually,
active.
Yeah, I'm more shocked they believe that Matthew Perry could be Zac Efron. That's the most shocking thing.
But I think he did really well. It was like his first sort of like comedy role. And that's when I first sort of sat up to Zac Efron and went, oh, okay, quite good.
I think he was pretty good in Bad Neighbours, or in America it's called Neighbours. You know, and what a body on the kid. Like, he's got a good body on him.
For sure. You know. Well, now he's going to play Ted Bundy in a biopic thriller movie.
Okay, so he's going for his Oscar, is he?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Interesting. So Ted Bundy, the guy who killed 30 women in the 1970s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got a lot going for it. It's like a period.
Sounds like a real rom-com.
Period 70s. Film, serious, he's going to be playing. Apparently,
kills 30 women, sounds lovely.
Well, No, but Zac Efron. Well, apparently the real Ted Bundy, the reason why he killed 30 women was because he was really good looking and charming. He was a Zac Efron.
So he's like, hey, I'm good looking. I'm just going to kill women. Let's do that.
No, it's just that that's how. Because there's that weird psychological thing which they've actually tested. It's a proven thing.
Are you sure? You didn't do this test on your own.
I didn't do it on my own, but I've read up about it, and it's about.
Wasn't one of your YouTube sketches that you do so well?
No, for sure. Okay. No, this is like an actual psychological fact that you will. Give more leniency to good-looking people than you will to less good-looking people.
Oh man, that's true. The things I get away with are unbelievable because I'm not. I'm not a bad looker myself. You know, so.
So okay, well.
Why are you laughing at me?
I can't go, no comment.
Why are you laughing at me? But I don't know why you're laughing.
They did it with some jurors, and they got like different. They got jurors to rate the. They're guilty to rate.
Oh, sorry.
The guilty sentences or the innocent sentences on different people, and they were on a sliding scale of like classic attractiveness.
Yeah.
And all the jurors, no matter which selection they chose, they gave more lenient sentences to the more good-looking people. It's like some sort of wired thing. It's like a little child. You're wired to look after if it looks cute. If someone's good-looking, you're wired to think that they're less evil for some reason.
That's very true. I'm like. Very evil.
It's always more surprising when really good-looking people do something really evil because it kind of jars the whole your whole lot.
I get it, man.
Concept.
Firstly, I think they would find you guilty. That's the first thing I think. But secondly,
for me, cheers. Thank you very much.
I think they would find you. I wouldn't find you guilty.
Okay.
I think you're very good looking.
I feel a Twitter poll coming on
because you are super evil and you get away with a lot of stuff because of how good you look.
Just like you know, flutter your eyelashes and
and you're super evil. Like guys, Johanna is super evil. Just so you know,
I'm super evil.
Yeah. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either you're going to be guilty, or you're super evil and good looking and get away with
super
it.
Super evil. Okay. Would you prefer to be super evil, good looking, or honest and ugly?
Yes. What would you prefer?
That
to
would be let us
honest
know,
and
guys.
Ugly, or super good looking and super evil, like Johanna James.
Tweet us at Foobar Radio or email chill@foobarradio.com. We will shout you out.
Yeah. You're probably not going to email in, but you should.
Just do email anyway. Just say hi. Yeah. Just let us know that there are.
Just
people
say hi. There. Just let us know that you're actually listening.
That would be swell. Are you a Game of Thrones fan? Are you not a Game of Thrones? You out of it?
I'm kind of in out, shake it all about. Like, I've watched seasons 1 to 3.
Okay.
And then, you know, real life took over.
Yeah, but shit hits the fan after series 3.
And I had to do some real life stuff, and then I haven't got back on it because I've been distracted with other things.
Okay. I'll
like making
off.
Movies and
I'll
stuff like that.
I'll let you off for that.
Like putting you in movies, maybe.
Oh, just while we're on this tangent, I just watched The Making Of.
Yeah, you're in that.
Yeah, which they've released on YouTube. So if you want to see The Making Of Brotherhood.
Yes.
Google that one.
She's in that. Johanna James is in that because she's in the film and she's very good in the film.
I mean, like, I very rarely get people being like, are you the girl from the film? I'm like, yeah.
Did you get it sometimes?
Yeah.
Well, you should, man. You're very good.
Yeah. But I was talking about Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
As we know, I've announced before, there is 4 Game of Thrones spin-offs that have been commissioned.
Fantastic.
So
sounds
they're
going
to take 4 different strands of it and they're going to go in different directions, and they've got all the best writers. They've got like Jane Goldman, just like Kingsman and Kick-Ass.
Jonathan Ross's wife.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's loads of other... Oh, the guy who wrote Mad Men. It's brilliant. And they've just announced that there's going to be a 5th. They've commissioned 1 more amazing writer, which they can't name yet because they've got to do the deal before they can announce his name. But we do know it's a he. And the guy who wrote all the Game of Thrones, he's obviously approving all of these writers and whatnot. Yeah. And he says that all the projects are going to be prequels. So if anyone's excited...
Oh, before actual Game of Thrones.
They're all going to be prequels. And because some people, obviously, they want to see...
Yeah,
post stuff, but I think that's just going too far in the timeline. So they're taking it all back.
Well,
again.
I think also he probably wants to keep control of that and make that stuff up himself, the author.
Yeah, because he's going to continue the books. He doesn't want the TV show to like over erase them, which is fair. That's completely fair.
Yeah.
Netflix, and this is a very weird one because I'm all about putting money into film, making movies, but some movies I'm a bit like, but why? They're making a movie about Michael Jackson's pet chimp Bubbles.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And I think a lot of people are scratching their heads because I was like, is that something people really want to
see? People love animal films, though.
I do like a monkey film, but like Dunstan Checks In or Monkey Trouble is classic 90s monkey
Dunstan
movies.
Dunstan Checks In.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that
film. I love
that
movie.
That was funny. I think he was an orangutan, though. You know, that's like calling a West Indian an African. He would be very annoyed.
Sorry,
about
Dunstan.
Dunstan's an orangutan, I think.
But Michael Jackson, I think he was actually, yeah.
Bubbles is a chimp.
Bubbles is a chimp. He's a chimpanzee.
Very different. They don't all look alike, you know.
Racial profiling on my monkeys. But I don't... Yeah, so Netflix have obviously...
Am I too loud? Sorry, carry on.
The producers.
Talking to the producers.
I don't... Yeah, I don't know if I want to see that film, but it's happening. Money's going into it. And I'm a bit like... I think there are other stories.
So I think that lots of Michael Jackson fans will watch it and thus Netflix kind of can deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I see that. And also, do you know the film The Dark Crystal?
Yes. Jim Henson? Great film, The Dark Crystal, You Were Born, I think.
Well, the prequel has been commissioned. I have seen it, but I think it was a while when I was younger, and I think I mix it up with Legend.
Or Fraggle Rock or something like that.
What's Fraggle Rock?
Shut up! What's Fraggle Rock?
I don't know what. I don't know.
What's Fraggle Rock?
Everybody shut up!
What's Fraggle Rock? Guys. If you know what Fraggle Rock
Educate me, I don't know.
Tweet me or email in or something like that. How can Johanna James not know what Fraggle Rock is?
I'm sorry, I thought I was good on my... But no, apparently
I'm offended by it.
But Netflix have commissioned the Dark Crystal prequel. Great. So it's all going to be coming back. But I hope that they do practical effects. Because I'd be really upset.
Oh, you want them to do practical puppet effects?
Yeah.
Like the Muppets?
Yeah, for sure. I get really pissed off when they turned Yoda into a little, like, CGI.
But he was a don when he was CGI. Yeah. The ninja stuff he was doing was unbelievable. He couldn't have done that if he was a puppet. It would have just been getting thrown across the screen.
Just a puppet being thrown back and forth.
And it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, I mean, he did get a cool fight scene. But I just, whenever they were doing the close-up shots, can't they just do it as the puppet? Practical effects all the way.
You think so?
If I was going to make a movie or like a, you know, a sci-fi movie or anything, as much as I could, I would do...
You just have the practical alien.
Yeah, for sure.
Some guy in a suit.
Yeah. Steven, we need you now. For sure.
But you'd look terrible, though.
No. If you not see some of the... Yeah.
He talks and his jaw moves at the wrong time.
No, but that's all the classics. Worked on practical effects.
They did, because we didn't have good VFX back then, but now we do.
And do you know what? But... The Jurassic Park was done majority on practical effects.
You know what you're saying? That's like saying, oh, do you know what? I like the olden days. I'm going to take a horse and carriage. What's the point in getting in a car?
That's
what you're saying.
Okay, I feel another Twitter poll coming on.
That's kind of what
effects
you're saying.
Or special effects.
I'm not saying I don't like a horse and carriage. I'm just saying if cars are around, let's use a car.
I just think that unless you're the CGI.
Fraggle Rock.
Oh, God, I've just seen a reference. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's like... That was before
so
my time.
Much better than... Oh, thank you, Daniel White. Got an email from Daniel White in, sorry.
Saying, hey, Noah and Johanna, so much better than Mayo and Commode. Just saying.
Daniel White.
You guys are talking another code. What's Mayo and Commode?
Oh, my God. I'm leaving. Guys, it's been great. It's been great. I've been glad to be back. I'm out of here. Take care, guys.
I'm sorry.
I've got to love you and leave you.
I don't know. Is that like a relish? Mayo and Commode on your chips? I don't know. What is it?
Okay, I'm back. I couldn't leave like this. Look at the shock on the producer's face. Look at the shock. Even one came in from the other room.
I know. Okay.
Okay, Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode are like two of the most legendary film reviewers in the land. Mark Kermode in particular is an actual G. He likes me quite a bit, actually. I'm quite good friends with him. So, Daniel, I would never say I was better than Kermode because he's actually a very good friend of mine. I love him to bits. Mark Kermode, if you ever hear this, which you won't, you are a legend. I bow to you and could never be as good as you. But Johanna,
okay,
James,
I get a C minus for my homework here.
C minus? You don't even get... You get a U. You don't even pass that
grade. I'm out.
That's unbelievable.
School's out.
She's like, is it mayonnaise? Unbelievable. Oh, mayo and Kermode. What sandwich is that? I'll eat that from Pret. Oh, did they sell it in Pret? I'll get one of those.
Oh, mate. Well, what can I say? I spent all this time in school learning about frigging algebra when actually I should be learning actual facts of life.
Mark Kermode is a ledge. So Simon. In fact, Simon writes novels and is actually now getting a couple of his novels made into films. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but he is. He's a ledge.
Well, why don't you just go and marry Simon then, okay?
I'd rather marry Mark, to be honest.
Okay.
He's got like a little Elvis quiff.
Basically. All right, yeah. I think I'm just going to have to go to a song and recover now and do a little quick research sesh.
Yes.
Before...
About Fraggle Rock as well. Have a look at those pictures.
Uh-huh. Right, I'm going to go for a little bit of Elvis Presley from Ocean's 11, taking it back to the early
2000s.
No?
Not sure.
I see your hips moving. I see him. It's that crunching.
Endless conversation.
start walking.
We're back.
Yeah, that was alright. That was alright. I'm preferring the Jackson thing, but
okay, you know. Alright, okay. I'll get a C for that one, but never mind. I like a bit of Elvis Presley. I'm sure a lot of you out there do as well.
I'm sure they do.
Sure they do. Right, we ran a competition last week, which to win a copy of the DVD of La La Land.
So what?
I know. If you didn't get to catch it in the cinema, we got that to give away. So
I didn't enter that. I'm not on the beach in the Caribbean.
Well, that's all right. You were all right.
No, I should have entered, though. I would have liked a copy of that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great film. But we've got our winners, so there's a huge congratulations to Chris Meller.
Wow.
Georgie O'Dowa. Chris Meller again?
Chris Meller's won twice. No, he hasn't.
Harry Jones and Rachel Emery. Okay, maybe that was a little...
Second Chris Meller, the Chris Meller clone, has not won.
No.
Chris Meller, the original,
cheeky
has won.
Chris Meller.
Georgie O'Dowa, Harry Jones and Rachel Emery.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay, we're going to be sending out a copy of the La La Land. Well done. And if you want to keep involved, or if you want to keep in touch as well, just make sure you're following at Fubar Radio on our Twitter, because we always give away competitions every single week.
Every week.
So if you're following us and you can look out for it and you can retweet it, then that's all you have to do for a chance to win.
Every week there's a competition of goodies given away.
And there's like a goodie box in the office that I see, and stuff comes in and we're not allowed to touch any of it, and it's really annoying.
Yeah, we don't get anything, which is highly unfair, I think.
No, I think we should get something. Of prize, or maybe I'll like make a fake Twitter and then that's just extra,
apply.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, there's no rules that say you can't actually enter.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, let's get the unions involved.
Exactly.
Fair rights for prizes.
Right. So.
Right.
What's happening?
Okay. So we're doing what's coming out now.
Oh, this is new.
It's what's coming out in the world of film. Okay. Some things have been released this week.
Okay, great.
Okay, we've got a film called Bruised, which is...
Oh, don't even get me started, man.
What, you know about it already?
Don't even get me started.
Why?
Like, let me just... Before we go into that, I'm just going to say... So, I have on my laptop a female MMA movie.
Mm-hmm. I know about... Yeah, yeah.
That has been written for a while. And there we are, and all these fucking studios are like, oh, female MMA movie, we're not too sure. Ooh, is it about Ronda Rousey? No, it's not about fucking Ronda Rousey. I like Ronda, but it's not about her. Ooh, female MMA, we're not sure. And then all of a sudden, my whole thing is absolutely effed. Because now, Blake Lively is going to do, guess what? A female MMA movie called Bruised.
Bruised.
So that means that my script and everything that we've worked on for the last 2 years will probably... one of two things will happen. It will either get made, because they'll want more like that, or it's absolutely effed.
Yeah, because they've completely
stolen... Because once Blake Lively's done it, what chance does anyone else have?
For sure.
So very annoying.
But if anyone is interested, like, well, I still want to see a female MMA movie. It's about a single mother who was distressed. No, I can't talk today. Disgraced MMA fighter, and the authorities threatened to take away her son, so she's got to go back in the ring again.
Yes.
So, I mean, actually, I did not know that it was Blake Lively. That was not in my notes.
Blake Lively, yeah.
So, I mean, she did good in that Shark film.
The director of The Notebook.
Oh.
Look, I'm into it. I'm into Bruised. I think Bruised will be great. I'm a big MMA fan, as you know. People have seen me at Bammers and UFCs and various things. I'm friends with a few fighters, well, one in particular. You know, Michael Bisping, Brad Pickett was in Brotherhood with us. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm a big MMA fan. I've been supporting MMA for a while. I used to train as well. I'm super into this film. It's just annoying that when I've been trying to get an MMA film out there for so long, that
Libby,
obviously they got Blake Lively, so that makes sense, but when I've been trying to get one up for so long and everyone's like, oh, I don't think this will work, and then suddenly Blake's doing it, they're all like, oh, MMA movie. It winds me up.
It's the golden dust of Hollywood, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're making a Fahrenheit 11/9 movie, which is all about the day that Trump became president, November 9th 2016, which is 11/9 in America.
Yeah.
So I don't really know much more about what, because we all know the ending, don't we? Trump became president.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to make some sort of dramatization of that day.
Who's making that movie?
I think it's the same people who did Fahrenheit 9/11.
Sorry, Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's the one.
So now they're going to do Fahrenheit 119.
Yeah.
That gets a hmm from me. We need a hmm.
That's a hmm.
What are these things called again? These things?
These are sound bites.
We need a hmm.
Well, we've got a tumbleweed.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
We'll see. We've got some emails in. It says, hey, Noel, nice to hear your voice again. You were missed. What do you think of Get Out? Everyone loves it, but it left me cold. I don't see what's so great about it, says Kirsty in Eltham.
Kirsty. Do you know what? I haven't watched it yet. I've been a little busy the last few weeks.
Oh, you've not watched it?
I haven't actually watched it yet. I will do. The thing about Get Out is the what a lot of people don't know, especially in this country, is the creator and director, Jordan Peele, I think.
Peele, yeah.
They're massive in America. He's massive in America. Like, you know, people don't really realize that over here. So that film was always going to do well. Plus, you know, Daniel's performance, which I've heard is brilliant.
Absolutely amazing.
Is going to help that. He's got a lot of support in the UK. So I think that the film was going to do well regardless. I've heard it's very good. A few people have said what you've said, but I haven't seen it yet. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I saw it at the cinema and I saw it again. I really like it. I thought that it wasn't a jumpy horror. And if it was just, it was just tense. And obviously because of all the sort of racial subject, it was very awkward. But when the comedy came in, it was therefore, it was like an amazing release. Yeah. Everyone could laugh. And there's like a smaller role in it who's like the best friend.
Yeah.
Who basically kind of steals the film because he's the comedy relief coming in the whole time.
I think I'd probably like it because I'm a big fan of Key and Peele's work, Jordan Peele and the other guy, I forget his name. I'm a big fan of their work, so I feel like I'll like it, but I just haven't. And you've got to support UK actors, regardless of like any sort of whether you know them well or not know them well. Like, you know, it's a UK guy, so we have to watch it.
He's great, and he absolutely smashed it. And he smashed it so much that hardly any American realised he was British. And then they're all like really upset.
That's his job, man.
They're really upset to find out, like, upset, that guy's English. What?
Yeah, fuck him.
Another email says, "Hey guys, who is the loveliest and least loveliest actor celebrity you've worked with or met?" From Daphne in Romford. You want us to name names and shame people? Who's the loveliest?
The loveliest? I don't know. There's too many people to say who the loveliest is. There's absolutely too many people because there's a lot of amazing people that I've met and worked with. So I couldn't say.
For me, maybe Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman was the loveliest.
He was the loveliest, most like down to earth, really helpful. Because you're doing a junket and those things are kind of awful.
Yeah.
And he came with so much energy and everything that I was giving him, he was giving back tenfold. And it was brilliant.
And the least loveliest?
The least loveliest was Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Mm.
He did the exact opposite of Hugh. Everything I was giving him, he was just thrown on the floor and wasn't giving me any fun, and he made my job really hard. And yeah, so
my least loveliest was Jimmy Nail. I worked with him on our Vida Saint Pet, and he was absolutely horrible to me. Vile.
Why did he not just not like you?
Or just didn't like loads of people don't like me. I don't give a fuck about that.
Grudge against the world.
Just was vile to me the whole time. The whole time. Yeah. Oh, season one, not the other two seasons, but season one. Because by season two, I weren't having it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stand up to your bullies, people.
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, no, that's my loveliest and my least loveliest.
But what were we talking about? Fahrenheit 11.9. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okie dokie. So we've got a film called Cash Truck, which is Sandra Bullock. And
what a absolutely wonderful name. It probably doesn't tell us anything about the movie, though.
Cash Truck. Well, it's an American who's fallen on hard times, and she joins a London armoured car company, and she gets involved with the people, like the gang of people who run the armoured car company, and then explosive secrets from her past come out. Is she who she says she is? And all this stuff.
Wow. Sounds amazing.
I don't know, Sandra.
Sounds amazing, isn't it?
It's always found it a bit weird when they randomly drop an American and plop them in an English movie.
Financing, girl. haven't I taught you anything? How do we get this film made? How do we get some money?
Get an American in, man.
Hey, I'm not against that, you know? I'm not against that because sometimes you need to get your film made, and a lot of the American actors have more value. Mm. Although UK is really catching up.
Emma Roberts.
Well, there you go. We have a lot of... Ian Somerhalder. We have a lot of people that are making moves in America now.
For sure.
But they tend to be more known, so that's how sometimes the only way you can get your film financed.
And there's a movie called Operation Final, which follows the
Sounds brilliant.
The team, it's the final operation, that follow the team that hunted down and captured Adolf Eichmann, who was one of the major architects of the Holocaust.
Mm.
So if that's done well, it could be interesting.
Operation Final.
What a
wonderful name that is.
I
wonder if it's the final operation in that film.
I think it might be the last
Be the penultimate one, though.
The penultimate mission. That's a better name, but that's a bit hard to say.
Penultimate mission.
I'm going to go see penultimate mission. No.
Operation Final.
Operation Final. I would love to know. I'm geeky like that. I love to know all like the code names for certain operations or big things. That would be really interesting to know.
Yeah.
Or like just so that you could know the police. I've got a friend who's a policeman, and he was trying to teach me all the police codes that he knows.
I bet he was.
Did
he arrest you, put the cuffs on you?
No, he's not arrest me. Oh, he did say that if I did do something, if you were a police officer and you arrest someone outside of like when you're not working, you get like triple pay.
Really?
Yeah, because if you put your life on the line and arrest someone and you've not got the protection of your uniform, they kind of reward you for that.
For what? Just that 1 hour or the amount of time it takes you? Because I'd make that arrest last like all day.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit on you for about 5 hours.
Yeah, before I report it.
So you were struggling. You get financially rewarded and like a bit, you know, for if you arrest someone. So, but he was saying there's like code names for all the different skin colours and stuff he was trying to teach me.
Yes, I know that. I've been called an IC3 many times.
Yeah. And so normally if I'm dating a guy, he'll be like, what's the IC?
Many times I've been called that.
Through the numbers.
In my younger days when I was stopped by the police.
I think I'm on IC6 now.
Are you?
I think.
Maybe. Aren't you IC1? Isn't white IC1?
I'm IC1, but I'm dating IC6.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wow, got his own code now, yeah?
I know.
New code. Didn't even exist 2 years ago. Now IC6.
Okay, we've got a tweet from Kelly Riley fans. Says hello to Noel. Any trailer out soon for your 10x10 movie?
Kelly Riley fans, I've seen them on the old Twitter. They're supporting Kelly Riley massively.
Yeah.
Any trailer out soon for 10x10 movie? Not soon.
Okay,
we're just finishing the edit of that film.
What about poster?
I've seen posters. I've seen tent posters and stuff like that.
I've seen some posters.
You've seen some posters.
I popped by the edit last week.
That's right. I wasn't there, but
I heard you weren't there. I popped by, and but they did sort of they saw the array of the you know, and I said, I'll think that one. Not that my view counts, but it's looking good. The posters are looking awesome.
Yeah, so, and I might add, the poster looks nothing like the posters that the fans have made up absolutely zip like those. So
has there been fan-made posters coming out?
Good attempts, guys, but the posters look nothing like that. I've seen the film quite a few times, and it's very good, brilliant. Kelly's fantastic, I must say. So is Luke Evans, absolutely brilliant.
10 by 10 coming out later.
Yeah. Later this year, I think.
And just quickly, before we go to another song, do you remember that time when I nearly was on a movie poster of one of your movies I wasn't even in?
I don't remember. What was that?
Yeah, so we were like on the first ever movie that I worked on with you. We were messing around with the behind the scenes crew.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
And it was like a horror movie, so we were just having fun on the set on the lunch break.
Yes.
And then some of the footage went back, and the producers went, oh, yeah, this is great for the poster.
This girl's great for the poster.
And
we'll put her on.
She ain't in the movie.
Like, yeah, she's not in the film. It's a costume girl. She's not in the film.
So, yeah, a little weird fact. That's how me and Noel met.
Well, that's because they thought you were better looking, although more super evil, than the girls that were in the film. So, you know.
Yeah, well, major casting flaw there, Noel. Major casting flaw.
There you go.
So you're going to think about that, and we're gonna play a bit of Crep and Conan.
And then I think we've got a guest.
And then we've got our first guest on the show. It's Back Row and Chill.
If she ain't fucking, she got to go.
Yeah.
Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes.
Word.
Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone.
True.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Oh yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time. Tell them don't waste my time. Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Pray to the Lord, nigga. In this cold world, I'm a born sinner. We pour liquor. Girl, come hover. It's all jigger. Chicks wanna holler. Can't be my baby mama. Cause I don't need that drama. Unless she Rihanna. Most of you assholes are by me. I pop a cherry now, she call me Papa. She asking me what's on my body. Versace.
Love.
Been that guy since Oxide Neutrino.
Man.
Bound for the reload.
Damn.
Dick is as big as my ego.
Bam.
Man will give her the D on the D-Lock.
Yeah.
If she ain't fucking, she got to go.
Yeah.
Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes.
Word.
Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone.
True.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Pretty girl on my left,
my left.
Pretty girl on my right,
my right.
South side of that rib. Tell him don't waste my time. Trubs rolled up in his buds, screaming out, if they ain't with us, then fuck him. Excuse my French, I ain't worried about nothing.
What?
Nigga,
I ain't worried about nothing.
Hacking shows, stacking dough. VIP lounge full of ratchet hoes.
Yeah.
Them boy talking about trapping hoes.
Yeah.
Fuck boys, probably still jacking foes. Roll up in my AJ slippers. Wanna fire, hitting first, yeah, I Ray J niggas. No chase till I taste straight liquor. Got my kids in her mouth, that's a play date, nigga. If she ain't fucking, she got to go.
Yeah.
Tell her don't waste my time. Police wanna stop me, search my clothes.
Word.
Tell them don't waste my time. If it ain't money, I ain't involved.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time. Waste man waffling down my phone.
True.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Oh yeah.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
Kaboom.
Tell them don't waste my time.
B-A.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
Tell them don't waste my time.
No.
It's Kent Jones, and usually I like to be in the front, but right now this is Back Row and Chill.
Boom.
Crept and Conan,
from the movie
wonderful
Creed.
Very, very lovely young men.
Very, oh yeah, you know them, don't you?
Well, not well. Like, I don't go to their house or anything, but I have met them. I directed a video. I like them immensely. They're very, they probably won't like me saying this because obviously they're cool and I'm old now, but they're very lovely, lovely young men.
Lovely young men.
Yes, wonderful young fellas.
You can have a quote on their album.
Yeah, wonderful Clark's. Young men.
Wonderful young
men. No, they're cool, man. I really like them.
We have our first guest in the studio. So hello. A huge welcome to Ron Scapello. No, it's not Ron.
Alex Taylor.
Oh my
unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
I might change my name to Ron Scapello.
I called you Ron in the room. Why didn't you say? How embarrassing.
Because yeah. I thought he might be coming in a minute.
Yeah, Alex is like, where is Ron?
Well, on my piece
of
paper. No,
actually, I'm just going to change my name to Ron.
I'm just reading it upside down. I'm so sorry.
That sounds harder than my name.
Right.
So I might live better
we'll
on the
streets. We'll try that again. Take two. It's fine. It's not live or anything, so don't worry. Not live radio.
It's all right.
Yep, it is.
Right.
Sorry. Anyway, Ian, huge welcome.
Who's Ian? It's Alex Taylor.
Oh my gosh. Why is everything wrong?
Alex Taylor, welcome, sir. Welcome to
thank
the
you,
show.
Adam. Thank you, Sharon.
Brian.
Bear in mind, I didn't get your name wrong, right?
Yeah, sorry, no.
Brian, welcome. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm so sorry, Alex.
What a great start.
Well,
great
start. Yeah.
And that's what it's like when you're unknown. Next week.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll be on the
yeah, you tell him next week you'll be in Cannes. Yeah, do you know who I am? I'm Alex Taylor, damn it.
Well, you are, and I'm just scared to say anything now. You are the director of Spaceship, is that correct?
What are you talking about? What the hell, Spaceship? I've never heard of that.
The movie Spaceship? It's out.
He's the director of Mayo and Commode, that film that we're talking about.
Stop fucking with me, because I can only,
Yeah, this didn't happen on Mayo and Commode earlier on.
Exactly.
I've got to say.
Exactly. Okay. Hello, mate, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm really great, thanks. Spaceship is out today, so... Yeah, it's a little bit hectic, and we're running from here to the Central Pitch House this evening for our public premiere. So
okay, well, before we get into that and about the film being out today, please do tell us a little bit about Spaceship. Or should we play the clip first?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
We have a clip. We're going to play a clip, and then we want you to tell us all about the film, and then
we can
reveal that it's out today, etc., etc.
Yeah, for sure. Okay,
it's out today, guys.
Here's a little sneaky peek. Here we go.
My mum disappeared when I was 7 years old. When I say disappeared, I mean they told me she was dead. But you should have seen her eyes. She was floating in the pool with this smile on her face. Like she was somewhere else.
So
there we go.
There was a little clip of the movie. Please tell us what Spaceship is actually about.
As opposed to what people think it's about. I mean, that's a really good point. So it's about a girl who disappears in an apparent alien abduction. We'll follow her father looking for her. But what it's actually about is how when you're a teenager, we feel a little bit like aliens ourselves in that we've just arrived on this planet and there are people looking in at us, prodding us, working out who we are and how to communicate with us. And so I wanted to make a film which was about teenagers, but it felt like it was structured like a teenager's mind, like by teenagers, not like from an adult point of view looking down on them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, so
which I think Skins did quite well, because it really felt like it was from the point of view and everything was important because it was from all the young people's eyes.
Skins did really well. I was a massive fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like everything's a big deal when you're a teenager.
Well, it is a massive deal.
And so the poster and the film itself has been, you know, cool things like... Well, the poster's quite interesting, and I've seen the film be called Magical and a Psychotropic Daydream, A Daring Journey into Younghood. Like, what would you say was... would you say any those quotes were all accurate? And what was the thing that made you really want to make a film like this? Bearing in mind, you're not a teenager, sir.
Well, I reckon there are teenagers inside of all us.
Agreed.
I think there's a teenager rattling and sort of rebelling inside us. And,
agreed.
You know, no matter how old we get, they're still going to be there, and that we remember what it was like to be a teenager. And I think we still look at things and we go, do you know what? My teenage self maybe thinks slightly differently about that, but now I've learnt that I need to sort of react to it differently. But the teenager's still there going, man, you wouldn't have done that back then. What are you doing? So I think, you know, as my first film out, I wanted to probably go back and revisit some of those teenage years and just kind of work out what the hell it was all about.
Yeah.
So to do that, rather than actually just mining all my own memories, I didn't want it to be just autobiographical. I went down to towns in South England, like Guildford, Farnborough and Aldershot, and I sort of befriended some teenagers and I just hung out with them for the whole summer.
Yeah.
And I just became friends with them and we went through some, you know, really sort of tough... I saw the tough experiences they were going through, you know, the joyous celebration of life that they did, you know.
Yeah.
So there's one time when this goth, like, he cut his chest a little bit and then a girl, like, drew a smiley face in blood, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I mean, in a happy sort of party, sort of relaxed sort of way. And I thought, you know, that's teenagerhood, you know, that's what it's like to be a teenager. It's kind of... sort of happy pain, you know.
Yeah. Whereas an adult, you'd just be like, "Oh, let's put a plaster on that."
Yeah.
Let's
go
on that.
Yeah.
The cream carpet.
Yes, exactly.
don't bleed on the cream carpet. Would you go back if you could have like a day pass to go back to being a teenager? Would you?
No.
No.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think I would.
I mean,
well,
we
you've just done it all summer. You just did it all summer.
Yeah. Yeah, which is why my next film is probably not going to be about teenagers.
Yeah. And when you did that research with the teenagers, did you find that? Because I think you're right. I think we all have that. It's not even so much that we have it inside us. It's like that you get to a certain age, I feel, and actually you mentally, you learn new things, but you don't go past that age. You just, society forces you to go past that age. Society forces you to behave a certain way because after a certain age, it's like there's things you just shouldn't do.
Yeah.
But you still feel, you know, I've got like, you know, my dad is old, but he says to me, oh, I still feel like I'm 25 or whatever like that because your mind, you know. So when you were doing that research, did it remind you a lot of your teens, and also how different was it now with those teenagers than it was when, I'm assuming, we're not far off each other's age?
Yeah, I mean,
when it was when
you mean, like, we, what, 28?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, no, it, do you know, it was remarkably similar. Like, it was park benches, it was car parks, it was anywhere where adults weren't going to interfere with them.
Yeah.
And it was the same talking, like this strange mixture of nonsense and incredibly profound, like, teenage poetry.
Yeah.
You know? To us sounds kind of like meandering and sort of fanciful, you know, or farcical even. But
yeah.
To them, it's like, you know, it meant everything to us. We were constructing the world around us. We were deciding how we felt about everything. We were testing avenues out. And that means, you know, like, unlike adults who think 20 times before they say something, you know, teenagers just kind of go out there and say it and do it and find out if they like it. So... they were the same as we were back then.
And how did you find it interacting with them? Did you find it hard to not, when they were saying things that were very teenage, did you find it hard to say, well, actually, guys, what really happens? Or were you quite silent observing? Or did you just kind of revert to your teenage self and kind of just...
Well, they taught me. I mean, my first thought was, oh, you know, I had my adult thought. And then I was like, man, what they're saying is so much... more truthful and real
and logical to them.
Yeah, logical to them, but also I realised how, as an adult, my thought process has become so confused with all the layers of society, you know?
Yeah.
So whenever they said something, I was like, oh yeah, I should be thinking like that again.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I probably regressed a few over that summer.
Well, I think though that the reason I wouldn't want to go back and be a teenager now is because I think that it's changed. Even since when I was a teenager, social media has just changed the entire landscape of a lot of teenage world. Like, I'm so glad that I went through school without having the smartphones and having to do Instagram and all the social media. Like, you know, I'm glad that I have like 3 photos of me when I was a teenager, and that it's just hidden from the world now.
Yeah, you don't want your entire teenage
years. I don't know if I would have
documented.
No.
That
but I'm assuming
good.
They were all going through that. Were they always on their phones posting on?
Do you know what, this group that I was with, they would look, I think this teenagers at the moment are, there are some, social media is a black hole and it sucked a lot of them up, and there are a lot of teenagers who just take selfies and try and look perfect every day. And but you know, luckily the guys that I found, they were like outsiders, but they celebrated that and they got together and they were banding together against the, you know, the outside forces.
Yeah.
You know, I think in a way, like, your mainstream teenager today is in more trouble than your outsider teenager.
Yeah.
Because they're all just sucked up into, you know, they want to be Kanye West or Kim Kardashian. I mean.
Yeah.
And what was your casting process? Did you end up using any of the guys you met out there, or did you go to traditional actors?
We did. First of all, I wanted as many sort of real teenagers in there as possible. So, we met amazing people on the streets. we got we met Annabelle Allen, who's in the film singing a song, and she's now being played on Radio 1. You know, she's a wonderful, like, really super young and talented girl. And we met her, and she came into audition. She wasn't so good at the acting, but then she said, "Oh yeah, I play some songs as well." Heard her songs, like, that's in the film. So
fantastic.
So we took her songs, put them in the soundtrack, and then she came on set and she did her scene. And I said, "Just bring your guitar up, just in case." And it was after a party in a bedroom, and she sang and played guitar, and it just, everyone's hair sort of went up on the back of the neck. And,
wow!
And that scene's in the film. And
she's got a record doing now because of that, or
she's not. I don't think we can claim that we. You know, she's super talented. She's got there, but no, she was playing on Radio 1 like last night, I think.
Wow,
that was her first Radio 1 play.
We've had a tweet in. It says, "Hi all, your film looks really great and very indie. Has indie cinema influenced or inspired you?"
Yeah, totally. I'm a long way away from sort of commercial big. Mm-hmm. I love, like, Greg Araki and Harmony Korine and. You know, Larry Clark, you know, that kind of gritty, you know, not gritty, gritty's a bad, not a good word, but you know, I want to challenge.
You mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're mentioning the people that inspired me as well, like Harmony, yeah. and Larry Clark with Kids and Bully back in the days in particular,
yeah.
Were instrumental in what then became Kidulthood and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm well into that, man.
Because there's not that many people doing that kind of film.
No.
In Britain, you know, no. There's a lot of people in America, but we sort of stick to our period dramas and our,
yes.
you know, Notting Hills or whatever. Yeah. But man, I always just felt like, can't we just have a real film that's just, you know, give them a voice and let them say things and and not like cut everything because it doesn't fit into our adults' opinion about what they should be, you know, and what that. It is to entertain. You know,
so I'm loving your vibe, sir, because as you probably know, I'm kind of very similar in that regard.
I do, of course, man. Yeah. you know, you've been in it as well.
And if people want to come and check it out, if they're like, oh, okay, they're going to go and see, you can check out the trailer online. But it is opening tonight, isn't it?
It's opening tonight at the Central Picture House, and we're going to be in the Ritzy and the Rio tomorrow. We're going to be in Hackney Picture House, I think, every day for, like, from today.
Boom.
For the next week.
Boom, so that you can definitely around. So Picture House is going to be the one.
Picture House, yeah.
And the Ritzy.
Genesis next week. And also, you know, I've got to say, like Laura Peake, who's in Born to Kill, she's yeah. in it. She's amazing, new star coming up, and
fantastic.
Tallulah Haddon from Taboo's in it,
yes.
as well.
Yes, good show that as well. Taboo.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought I knew I recognised her face. I was like,
and Alexa Davies, she's Raised by Wolves and Harlot. So she's the girl who disappears.
Great. So I mean, Alex, you've done pretty well with shorts, you know, and now obviously we've got the feature. What is next for you, sir?
I got another feature film in development now with BFI, so I'm writing it. I can't say too much about it, but yeah. it's going to okay. move. I'm going to move into the adulthood. Yeah. No, you've already done that shit.
Yeah, damn it,
man. It's gonna be similar themes, but in the adult world.
Next
I'm
season.
Yeah,
season
next
of season. Life.
Is there a role for me in there?
I definitely think there is. Can you be in the army? Yeah.
Yeah.
You could definitely be in the army.
Yeah, I might be too old now, but if it's adults, then maybe I can. Yeah. Well, I'm putting my hat in the ring right now. Loving your vibe. I will. If there is a role for me, sir, I will be in your film.
let's do that. Let's do that.
If there's a role for me, I will be in your film.
Man, you're in the army now.
I'm there. Boom. I'm there.
Go drop and give me 20.
Drop and get
right now. Okay, cool. Let's play a bit of Tupac, and we're gonna.
Well, thank you
start
so
your
much.
Training.
Thanks
thank
so
much.
Thank you so
it.
Much, Stephen, Daniel, and.
Thanks, Sharon.
Guys, Spaceship is out tonight from today. Please check it out.
Spaceshipfilm.co.uk as well for all the info and the screening info.
There you go, spaceshipfilm.co.uk for all the screening info. Alex Taylor is on the rise as one of the premier talents in British film coming up. So please do check this film out and check him out.
Yeah, thank you, guys. All right, it's back, Crow and Chill. We'll be back with more guests and more music after this.
Machiavellian is Illuminati. All through your body, the blows like a 12-gauge shot. Feel me? And God said he should send his one begotten son to lead the wild into the ways of the man. Follow me. Eat my flesh, flesh of my flesh. Come with me. Hail Mary, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Ride or die. La, 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 la. I
ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. Picture paragraphs unloaded, wise words being quoted. Beat the weakness in the rap game and sold it. Bow down, pray to God, hoping that he's listening. See a nigga's coming for me, my diamonds when they glistening. Now pay attention, bless me, please, Father. I'm a ghost, cause the killing feels Hail Mary. Catch me if I go, let's go deep inside the solitary mind of a madman. Screams in the dark, evil lurks, enemies, see me flee. Activate my hate, let it break, till I'm flaming. Set trip, empty out my clip, never stop to aim. Some say the game is all corrupted, fucked in this shit. Stuck, niggas is lucky if we bust out this shit. Plus, mama told me never stop until I bust a nut. Fuck the world and they can't adjust. It's just this way, oh, Hail Mary. Come with me, Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see what you be having now. Do you wanna ride or die? Promise makers never realize the precious time that bitch niggas is wasting. Institutionalized, I live my life a product made to crumble. Went too hard and for a smile, way too crazy to be humble. We ballin', catch me, Father, please, cause I'm fallin'. In the liquor store, that's the Hennessy I hear callin'. Can I get some more? Hell, till I reach hell, I ain't scared. Mama checkin' in my bedroom, I ain't there. I got a head with no screws in it. What can I do? One life to live, but I got nothing to lose. Just me and you on a one-way trip to prison. Selling drugs, we all wrapped up in this living. Like the studs to my homeboys and Click Max doing they bid. Raise hell to this real shit and feel this. When they turn out the lights, I'll be there in the dark. Looking eternal through my heart. Now Hail Mary, nigga, come with me. Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die? La da 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 da. Come with me, Hail Mary, nigga, run quick, see. What do we have here now? Do you wanna ride or die? La da 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 da.
They got an APB out on my thug family. Since our walls run these streets like these scandalous freaks, our enemies dying now. Walk around half dead, head down. K blasted off a hand. Blistered and high, visions of me thug living, getting me by, forever live. And I multiply, survive by thugs. When I die, they won't cry unless they coming with slugs.
Peep the whole scene and whatever's going on around me. Brain kinda cloudy, smoked out, feeling rowdy, ready to wet the party up. And whoever in that motherfucker, nasty new street slugger. My heat seat suckers on the regular, mashing in a stolen black act. Integra, cock back, sticky seconds to the jaw. That's when I'm dead in your feet first. You got a nice gap, but my heat's worse. From a thug to preaching church, I gave you love. Now you eating dirt, needing work. And I ain't the nigga to put you on, cause word is born. When I was broke, I had to hustle till dawn. That's when the sun came up. It's only one way up, hold your head, stay up. To all my niggas, get your pay and wait up.
If it's on, then it's on. We rake, be breaks, outlaws on the paper chase. Can you relate to the shit I don't got? Be the shit I gotta take. Dealing with fate, hoping God don't hold the gate. If it's on, then it's on. We rake, be breaks, outlaws on the paper chase. Can you relate to the shit I don't got? Be the shit I gotta take. Dealing with fate, hoping God don't hold the gate.
Traveling on this weary road, sometimes life could be a heavy load. But we ride, riding like a bullet. Hail Mary, Hail Mary,
Hail Mary.
We won't worry, everything will worry.
Back row and chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, la 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 la. Tupac.
Yeah, and the Creed soundtrack. Loving that movie.
Yeah,
and
Creed's a good movie.
It is good.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
So who've we got?
We've got our second guest.
Second guest.
Please.
That doesn't mean he's second best, though.
No, just, you know.
In order.
It's like, I don't judge food, no matter on what the course. It's yummy if it's the beginning or the end.
Yeah, I kind of do.
You?
I'm like, this is a bad second meal.
No, this is a brilliant second guest. Welcome, Adam Scott Rowley in the studio.
Hello.
Yes, indeed. How are you, sir?
All right, how are you doing?
Great.
We're brilliant. Yeah.
So,
good.
This is not culturally significant.
Yeah.
Hit me. Tell me about this show that you have written, directed, and starring.
Yeah.
By okay. the way, before you tell me, I want to tell you, I'm loving that. I'm loving that. Yeah. I'm loving good. The writing, huge directing, respect. Starring. You know how I roll, man. I love that you're doing that. You're grafting. What made you decide to do that, to take it all on? Because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the show is, it's pretty crazy. I play like 10 characters. They're all having the worst times of their lives. They're all going mad. And they're all just like completely like breaking down. All of their lives are like intertwined, so nice. it jumps between. Sometimes you're with one character for like 30 seconds and you're with someone else for 10 minutes, and they all somehow know each other, they're all somehow connected, but they're all hiding something like really rough. So some of them are like serious racist, some of them have got like really deep brutal secrets that that they don't want to show, but they kind of have this like current of comedy and humor running through everything to try and hide all the pain and all the shit that's going on in
as,
their lives.
As people
like
do.
Real
as people
adults.
Do, but like heightened, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, yeah, so, and I do it completely naked. So.
I was gonna get onto that at some point. So yes, you do the show in the nude.
Yeah.
When I, so there's varying levels of nudity, because obviously nudity is nudity, but I mean, do you wear a string vest?
No, it's like cock and balls.
You have your actual willy out.
Yeah, start to finish. Yeah. Bit of paint, a bit of white paint. That's about it.
I admire you, sir.
I mean, that's that is real putting yourself on.
Yeah.
Out there.
What
you
made
know?
You so two questions.
Yeah.
Or a double barrel question. One, what made you take on this acting, directing and writing when so many other people just kinda chill and wait for their agents to call? And two, why are you doing it completely naked?
Yeah. Well, I guess that why I did it in the first place was that, you know, like being an actor, it's such like an oversaturated market.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you can wait around for jobs to come in or like agents to call or whatever, and it just doesn't happen. So it was like, well, either put yourself out there and make your own stuff, or just don't do anything and, you know, work as a waiter or whatever.
Boom. So I'm loving that. I hope you guys are listening. Yeah. I've said this a million times. You can sit around waiting for the phone to ring, or you can create your own stuff. And we know if you create your own stuff, things happen. So massive respect to you, sir. Massive
cool.
respect.
Thanks, man.
And now, so... Why
nudity.
Would old wee willy winky out?
Yeah, why balls?
Or Mr. or Mr. Big Stuff, whichever. I don't know. I've not seen the show yet.
We'll gotta come and check it out.
We'll have to come and have a
look.
We'll have come, because I'm thinking, I would say, excuse the pun, you gotta have balls to be doing that.
Yeah,
right. So I'm assuming
it's pretty scary, but you get used to it. You do get used to doing it.
I've done it before, actually.
Have you?
Yeah, I did a play. I've talked about this a few times. I did a play and I had to be naked on stage.
Really?
I toured for a couple of months, And it's very sort of like, yikes.
Yeah.
But then you just get used to it.
You do kind of gradually get used to it. Yeah. But I worry as well that if I get completely fine with it, that it will kind of lose some of that tension, you know.
Mm.
But no, the reasons for doing it naked.
Yes.
So it wasn't to begin with. I did it in Edinburgh last year, clothed. And loads of people were like, these characters are so brutal and so... like unforgivable, that there just needs to be some sort of like vulnerability in the show, and it kind of concerned me that there wasn't any vulnerability in it.
Yeah.
But then I didn't want to compromise who I thought these people were, because like they are like amongst us, you know. You see these people on the street and in life all the time. So I thought, well, if I'm completely naked, hopefully people will see themselves in these people and they'll be more forgiving of the characters.
See the vulnerability because yourself, the performer,
being really vulnerable.
Are now being vulnerable. Yeah,
yeah. So that's
So do you how do you then
brave
so
choice, amazing.
You change character in your ten between all the 10 characters, and obviously you don't get costume changes.
Yeah.
So you have to do that all just like physically.
It's very physical.
Yeah.
So that's how they're defined, like really physically and with a voice as well. Like half of the characters are women. So there's like a differentiation in voice as well as physicality.
Oh my god. Have you seen the movie Split?
No.
It's James McAvoy. He plays someone who has split personality disorder.
Oh, okay.
So he's got 23 different people that he is, and he goes between male, female, good characters, bad characters.
Oh,
and
cool.
He does it just by like the flicker of a face movement. You can see one character switch into the next one, and you're like, that's a different person there right now. It's a different person.
That's M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yeah.
Was the film good?
If you thought,
because he's not made a good film in a while, so
they've just commissioned the sequel to it.
Oh, really?
And because that film was a surprise sequel to Unbreakable.
What, Split?
Yeah, so Split at the very, very end. Spoiler alert here, massive spoiler alert here. But at the very, very end, you got a cameo by Bruce Willis.
And okay, say no more.
And it's a...
Say no more. Yeah. Unbreakable was one of his best films. Anyway, back to you, sir.
I need to see these films.
Yeah. But Split would be amazing. Maybe see it after your... Or maybe, you know, during your run. But it was... James McAvoy, I think, he absolutely killed it. And I don't know why he didn't get an Oscar or something. Because he was unbelievably amazing.
He's a good actor, man. He's a good actor. So when is the show on?
It's on at the moment at the Bunker Theatre.
Yeah.
And it finishes London Bridge. Mm-hmm. And it finishes 3rd of June.
Fantastic.
Oh, nice little run there.
It is. And it's weird because it changes every night because a lot of it is improvised. So it's dependent on like the audience that comes in, kind of what happens each night.
Yeah. So do you have any sort of, you have a basic script then?
Yeah, there's like a skeleton of a script.
Yeah.
But yeah, it changes a lot. So I'm kind of interested to see what it's going to be on the 3rd of June compared to what it is now.
Yeah. So you feel the audience basically and then sort of take it where it needs to go.
Yeah, because sometimes they just laugh all the way through, but other times they're really silent and they sit in the sadness of it more. So it's kind of weird juggling that and making sure everyone's on the same page and kind of...
Do you have a preference?
I like it when it's... My favourite thing is when they laugh at something and then I change it up and they're like, oh, fuck, we should not be laughing at this.
Yeah.
So that's my favourite kind of game to play with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great game.
So brave to do... not only are you about naked, but you're also doing just a show alone. It's just terrifying.
Yeah, it gets a bit lonely.
Yeah. Do you ever miss having someone to... Well, you have the audience bounce off, sure, but you have someone on your side of the ring to bounce off?
Yeah, definitely, and especially when you kind of can't be asked doing it.
Like, those days are like...
There's no one else just to pick you up, you know.
Yeah.
And no understudy.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Well, this is super cool. So it's called This Is Not Culturally Significant. And why that title?
You've got to decide for yourselves whether it is or not after you see it. It's one of them.
Oh!
Do you have... Of your characters, it's 10 characters?
Kind of 10 to 15.
10 to 15, depending. Yeah. Is there one that you lean towards the most, that you like playing the most? And is there one that is similar to yourself?
I wouldn't say there's one that's similar. There's one that can talk to the audience. There's only one that can actually like directly talk to the people.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like this spiritualist lecturer. But he's like the most pissed off guy you've ever met, even though he like promotes all this mindfulness stuff. So he's good fun because you can actually be like active with people in the room.
Yeah.
But some of them are like really fucked up. So that takes quite a bit of energy.
Yeah. Are they based on people you know?
No.
No.
Oh,
no,
so
no.
None of your friends are going to be like, look. Adam, I think I don't know what.
Like maybe at one point, but they kind of come so far now that
you
wouldn't recognise. I hope you wouldn't fucking recognise anyone in them.
Something mates gonna be like, "That's me."
Yeah.
I thought I recognised myself in Brotherhood script.
Did you?
Yeah,
but
not the character I was playing.
Really?
I'm pretty sure word for word. You know the character Poppy.
Yes.
When she's with all the boys and they're all looking at the nudes, and then she goes like, "Oh, I don't know why you said that. It looks like a brain." And I'm pretty sure
that we had that conversation.
That I've said that for sure.
It looks like a brain.
We're talking about why nudes are a thing nowadays and stuff. We're having a group conversation about that at some point, and I was like, "Yeah, Noel got that from me. I'm pretty sure."
Do you know what though?
I think I'm Poppy.
I did get it from someone, but I don't know if it was from you.
I think it was from me, because I'm always the one there going I think actually.
I don't know if you said, would you say it looks like a brain? Is that something you'd say?
Because I think vaginas do look a little bit like brains or, you know, creatures that are like, ah!
Does yours look like that? Like
mine
a brain?
Looks like a brain.
Like a vulture.
With a little brain.
Like a pterodactyl with a brain.
Yeah, it's a pterodactyl's brain.
Maybe you should write her a part so you both can get on stage, man. Because I would love to see that pterodactyl. I would love to see that pterodactyl.
I'd be upstage.
Well, if I'm naked, you'll just see it anyway. So
yeah,
just have to do.
Well, maybe I have seen it anyway.
But moving on. Everyone's gonna be like, "Oh my god, tweet, tweet, tweet,
tweet, tweet, tweet." Boyfriend's gonna be calling in now. Mother's calling in. Like, what does that mean?
No, it's professional. We're talking about your play, which is on at the moment at the Bunker. If you've just joined us, it's a one-man play. You do it butt naked, 15 characters, incredible. How long is the play? How long do you have to keep going?
50 minutes-ish, depending.
Okay, no interval, just keep.
I'm assuming it could run over an hour, potentially, if you're having fun and interacting.
No, not much more than an hour, because it's pretty knackering. But,
yeah, of course.
Have you had friends and family come and see it?
So, friends, but my parents are seeing it for the first time on Monday.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Your mother is going to come and see your winky. That she hasn't
seen it before.
Yeah, but it's not the same, is it?
It's not the same.
Not for, like, you know, 15 years.
She's going to be like, well, son, it's very different. It's grown ever so slightly, I must say.
It starts.
Dad's going to be like, well done, boy.
I don't know what they're going to think. But it starts off with me as this American porn star.
Yeah.
And she's like frigging herself at the very top of the show. So
if
they can sit through that, they can sit through the whole thing.
Well, are you going to keep an eye out? What if you kind of are frigging yourself butt naked and you see daddy walking out?
I see him walk out.
The worst.
He might. No, I'm trying to scare you. No, it's going
to
be fine.
Drink before.
It's going to be fine. They're going
to
love it. They're going to be super proud of you like everyone is. I think what you're doing, my friend, is absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Writing, directing and acting, I'm all over that. And I'm not patronising you, but I'm proud that you're doing that because I think more people should take ownership of their stuff. And the fact that you're doing it naked, I remember doing my play naked and it was absolutely terrifying, you know, having all these girls see my huge penis. So the fact that you're doing that, man, ultimate respect to you, man.
Cool, thank you.
It would be really funny if there's a fire drill though, because you'd have to go outside and
go out in the car park.
I was performing. It's art.
While he's being arrested for indecent exposure.
Like in the theatre, it's like
I was performing. Yeah, of course you were, mate. Come on,
audience will turn against
this
you as well.
This is not culturally significant, which is at the Bunker Theatre in Southwark right now. Started May the 15th.
Started
May the 15th and goes until June the 3rd.
Plenty of time to go.
Please
see
do
it.
Check,
go check
it,
out.
Adam Scott Rowley.
Amazing. Brilliant. Thanks. Right, we're going to go back to some music and move on to the third guest, which no particular...
They are not as good as you, sir, because you are second, they are third.
Amazing. Right, here's a little bit of a teaser of another show on Fubar Radio.
This Thanks, Ads.
Hannah Thank Witten. You.
Fubar Radio presents... The Hannah Witten Show.
This week, I have my dear friend, Florence Schechter. Don't want you to come on my face.
Don't want you to come on my face.
Yeah.
No.
It really stings when it gets in your eye.
Can confirm.
Can confirm.
I tend to have terrible aim.
Yeah, it was my... To be honest, when it happened to me, it was my fault. I was the one holding, and I didn't aim properly, and it just went...
Sometimes it comes out at funny angles and, like, different projections. Sometimes it kind of just goes a bit...
It was funny, though. We managed to laugh it off. Never again, and you're lucky that it was an accident and it was actually my fault.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Witten Show.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Now it's Mr. Lethal Bizzle.
Yo, what's happening? I've always kind of been vocal. Like, I call them David Cameron a donut. You need to create new conversations all the time. It's always about spreading the energies. That's one thing Wiley's taught me. As much as you might be the guy, the scene can't be one person. People like myself, JME, Skepta, Wiley, we're our own politicians. We've got fans. We've got like a party. The powers that be, they need to start taking us seriously and knowing that our influence is as impactful, if not even more than theirs.
Every Thursday...
Harriet Rose with
Nozza. From 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
And this is Back Row and Chill.
Back Row and Chill. with JJ and Clock.
The best show. I'm just going to say it. I think it's the best show.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Do you know why I don't know?
Why?
Because ridiculously, I don't listen to any of the others.
Well, because you're concentrating on this one.
Because I'm working so hard.
On the entertainment industry. Right, we are on to our third guest, so a huge welcome to Ilan.
Ilan, hey. How do I pronounce your surname?
Eshkeri.
Ilan Eshkeri. How's it going, buddy?
That's a nice
Great,
name.
How are you guys doing?
Good, thank
really
you.
Really good. Well, you are one of the very few composers that we've had.
Yes.
On the show. So I'm really
and by far the best.
By far the best.
Thank you.
Well, we just played a little bit of your work before the break. And that was from Layer Cake.
Layer Cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. But you've done so many films. You've got Kick-Ass, Still Alice, Stardust, Boom. Young Boom. Victoria. So many of my faves on there. How did you start doing this?
Yeah, so basically, you know, this is a film show. Tell the youngsters, tell the audience, how does one go about becoming a composer for movies?
Well, for me, it was mostly an accident. I wanted to be a guitarist in a rock band, and right. I took a wrong turn somewhere along the way. But what happened is I just knew I wanted to work in the music business, and I got introduced to a film composer, and I didn't really even understand what that was. And I just started working for him, literally just making tea, and I learned the ropes, and I worked my way up the ladder. So I think, what advice would I give? Just do everything you can, short films, and you know, I started off doing documentaries for the BBC, and bit by bit, push doors, and things start to happen.
But it's really about consistently. Is it really about consistently though? Also making music, just keep making music and practicing and learning your craft and stuff like that.
Absolutely, and just absolute perseverance. And you know, there's so many knows along the way, and I mean, right at the start, we nearly worked together. I nearly did Kid Hood,
yes,
and then that yes. didn't work out for some reason. I can't even remember why.
Because Hoods was the director, not me.
Because I was trying to be polite.
Because yeah, we did work on Adult Hood technically,
yeah,
and
we
you
did,
sort
yeah,
of
yeah.
mentored
With
you
Chad,
mentored
yeah.
Chad, who ended up doing the composing on Adult Hood. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good times.
I love film soundtracks. Is one of my modern music is brilliant, but I'm not down with the kids with that, really. I my head's always in soundtracks and stuff. So which way round does it work? Do you see the film and then find something over the top of it, or
that way. Sometimes you work at script stage, so at the moment I'm starting on Ralph Fiennes is directing a new film, a film about Nureyev, the ballet dancer, and I'm just starting on that, and we're at script stage and we need to do some music in advance, but that happens less often. Most often you come in when they've got an assembly of the film, and that's important because the director and the editor need to throw music up against the film and see what works. Things work, and then you come in and for me it's all about, I try to find an access point, an emotional access point in the film, a bit of the scene that really speaks to me, where I could say, okay, I need to write music for this character, and it's going to be like that. And there's two bits to it. There's the bit where you have to write Luke Skywalker's theme, and then there's the more functional bit, which is more, you know, the bit where you have to write the theme, that's like coming up with a hook. That's there's no way to teach that. I don't know how that happens. But the rest of it is, well, I put his theme here and it needs to fit in this scene, and it needs to be sad, or it needs to be action-y. That's more of a skill set that you can learn.
Yeah.
And what instruments do you play? Do you have one sort of specialised instrument, or do you...
I sit at the keyboard mostly these days, because, okay. You know, you write it all on the computer. But as a kid, I learned violin. I was rubbish at it. but and I can play the guitar, but obviously not well enough to be a guitarist in a rock band, so...
You never know.
You never could
it's
still
never
happen,
too late,
right?
A lot of the rockers are kind of in advancing years, so, you know, there's always hope.
That is true.
And do you prefer... Because I've done both. I've done sort of character themes, and I've done films where there isn't a character theme and the score is just a score. Do you have a preference in terms of when you're scoring a movie?
I think it really depends. Character themes can be quite on the nose. So if you're doing an animation, or you're doing, you know, a fantasy film, you may want to do that, but it's quite sort of paint by numbers. Sometimes you want to think of it differently, where you might have emotional themes in the film and you want to write music for that, and that doesn't necessarily apply to specific characters.
And well, you also work with some other pop stars as well.
That is true.
In the
yeah.
notes, like Katie Tunstall, Tom O'Dell, oh, and the Cinematic Orchestra, and Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, I wrote a song for Sinead on the end of The Young Victoria.
Amazing.
Mm. Yeah, that was amazing.
And do you have a favourite type of film, genre of film, that you really like to do the music for?
You know what? Not really. You know what the answer to that question is? I just want to work with nice people and like fun people, because, you know, there's a lot of in all the arts. Are we allowed to say
yes,
that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah. Yes. There are a lot of dicks working. Yeah, you can say there are in all the arts. And actually what you want to do is you want to find, because, you know, especially at the start of my career, I worked with some really famously difficult people like Harvey Weinstein and Dino De Laurentiis. Yeah. And I think, you know, and they're amazing, and I'm so glad I have those stories, and thank you to those people for giving me a shot early on. But I think, you know, there was a revelation for me at one point where I thought, actually, you can work with really nice people. The creative process doesn't have to be fraught and angst, and you get much better results that way when you have a respectful creative collaboration.
I'm with you.
Anyone who's making a film that is nice and calm, I'm in.
I'm with you. I'm not always calm, but I'm nice. Yeah. I had that revelation probably, I think, only 2 years ago. No, what was it, 14? I think I had that revelation in about 2014. Because I mean, you know me. You know, Johanna knows me. When I'm annoyed, people know I'm annoyed, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can be angry, whatever, like that. But essentially, I'm a nice guy, right?
Yeah.
But I have always, my whole life, gone out of my way to help people. Like, I'm always like, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do that. And in about 2014, it literally was thrown so hard back in my face. I literally had that revelation. I was like, from now on, I'm only going to work with people I like. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what Oscars you've won or anything like that. If I don't like you, I'm not working with you. And you know what? My life, as Eminem says in one of his tracks, my life has been so much better. I'm telling you, bro, like, honestly. So I'm with you. Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true, man.
People who are energy suckers and bring
energy
you down.
Vampires.
Yeah. You gotta just, I'm
just
learning
have
that
to
as
cut,
well.
Cut them away, man. So I'm digging that. I'm glad you said that. Young people, please listen to that. You know, it's easy to just work with people because you want to get by, but actually working with someone to get somewhere when actually you're just going to be miserable for years or months, it's just months or years is not the one. It's like, just be happy. You know what I mean? That's the best way.
And do you have, I was asking, this is a bit like picking a favourite child, but do you have a favourite score that you've done that you're like, yeah, it's my favourite one?
It's a very hard question to answer, but one of the things that gives me the most joy is that The Young Victoria, which is a love story about Queen Victoria and
good
Prince
film,
Albert. The music from that is kind of quite regal and romantic. And more than anything else, I get emailed about that score from people who are getting married all over the world who want that music played at their wedding.
Fantastic.
And I think of all the things, all the triumphs I've had, nominations or awards or, you know, sold records, actually the greatest and biggest compliment is that little to think so many, literally hundreds of weddings where people have had my music play at
for their moment.
It's amazing, yeah.
And that's the hugest, biggest compliment and the thing I think that I'm probably most proud of.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, man. That's really cool. It'd be interesting if some people wanted like Kick-Ass played at their wedding, though.
I probably
I bet there's some people, right?
Yeah, it would be like, I'm having the Kick-Ass music played at my wedding.
You know, like those people who get married on the water or extreme weddings, right?
Skydiving. And that's just in their headphones and the priest is like, ah!
No, I had a friend who the groom wanted to come down the aisle to Star Wars. I was like, really? Don't let him do that.
Did he do it?
No, he wasn't allowed to do it.
Yeah, but she put the kibosh on that, man.
But yeah, that would have been, I mean, it's a kind of wedding, but
She wasn't having it.
No. See, but that's what now nerds are cool, right? So that's what happens when nerds become
geek
cool.
Geek chic.
Well, Jedi's a religion now, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes,
is it?
It's a recognised religion, because you only have to have like 200,000 people decide to start a religion, and then it has to be recognised. And a few years back, they did it. So Jedi is now a recognised religion.
Wow.
Weirdly.
So are we all Star Wars fans?
Yeah, I am. I just don't know whether I'd have it as my recognised religion. But,
yeah,
but
you can now.
You can choose it. Yeah. Well, that can. What that be like on your passport?
Well, then if you were two Jedis getting married, then you could have the Star Wars.
Okay.
Music
Okay,
yeah.
In that occasion, it would make sense. But this person, they would neither of them were recognised Jedi. Yeah. So I thought it was a bit disrespectful to all the recognised Jedis out there to take their music there.
That's true.
That's why there was
true,
a problem.
True.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. This has been brilliant.
Yeah.
Amazing. Just quickly, is there anything? What's your sort of next? What's coming?
Can
for you this
tell
year?
Us?
Yeah. Well, I can. Yeah, I've got Riviera coming out.
Sky. Big show. Ooh.
Yeah. So excited about that.
Did you do the whole thing, or did you mentor anyone on that?
No, I did the whole thing.
Fantastic.
It was produced by a couple of friends of mine, Chris Tickier and Liza Marshall. And,
yes, I know them.
So it was nice to work with them. They're good guys.
They are.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's glamorous. It's a good show.
Yeah, it is. That's a good show. And any personal things that you're doing and personal projects music wise?
Yeah, I'm writing. Well, I just wrote a ballet.
Fantastic.
So I'm doing another ballet. So that's a new thing for me.
Fantastic.
Lots of ballet.
Yeah,
and
it's
Ralph
fun.
Ralph Fiennes ballet.
But, well, that is true. It seems to be a lot of ballet in my life.
But trying
to bring, like, you know, not make it boring and classical.
Did the one you were doing for him kind of inspire you to do your own ones, or were you all? Are you
no, actually, I was doing my own one first, and then he came along with this ballet script. So yeah.
It's, and so did you go when he was like, oh, I want to do a ballet? Were you like, oh, I need to work so hard on it? And just palmed off some of your music.
Well, no, because it's a biopic. But yeah, I wish I could have done.
Great.
Well, all the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming in on Back Row and
Thanks
Chill.
For having
it's
me.
Been a pleasure.
All right.
Right here, we're going to go to a little bit of music from Riverdale. I'm loving their soundtrack at the moment.
Oh,
so
Riverdale.
Sorry, no, you're probably going to like it, but I'm loving it.
Lying to
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
All right. You know what? You weren't a fan.
What was that song? Was it from Riverdale, was it?
Yeah, If You See My Boyfriend by Denora.
Mate.
I like it.
What a nice lullaby that was. I got to tell you.
All right,
is it like the show? Is the show as exciting as that song?
The show is very exciting.
Right.
It's full of gorgeous people and thrilling plot lines, I'll assure you.
Well, I'll be the judge of that one.
My daughter loves it as well.
Oh, yes.
She's
13. And that,
though,
my friends, is hello to
Ron Scarpello.
Is that the pronunciation?
Yeah, the real
Ron.
Right,
no, you got it right, yeah.
Boom.
The real Ron, yep.
The
so
real
your
Ron's
daughter loves
building.
Riverdale.
Apparently so. I've never watched it, and
no,
she's been watching 13 Ways to Die, which apparently I should watch.
Mate, you don't let her watch that show.
I know. She's, you know, Netflix is sort of taking her into a different world.
Yeah,
at times.
Don't let her watch that show.
I know.
That show in particular is just.
It's a dark.
It's
one.
A very good show.
But
I'll
good.
Be honest. But like, I feel like maybe I'm turning into a parent. I don't know.
Oh,
I feel like
it
just. It's kind of. Sort of giving kids ideas, man. Like,
they're all talking about it in the schoolyards, and it's kind of strange. I read about it in the paper, and suddenly it's a current, you know, current trend.
Look, I'm not one of those, because I play a lot of video games, and when I was young, all the adults were like, don't play video games, you're going to go out and shoot, and I've never gone out and shot people. So I'm not saying the show will do that, but it's quite detailed in how the girl does the thing, and I just think, if you're of a fragile mind, especially with social media these days...
Sure.
Yeah, watch that one.
But I think, it's a... Well, let's talk about why Ron is him.
Yeah,
because
why not?
Because you didn't make 13 Reasons Why, Riverdale. But you did make My Name is Lenny.
My Name is Lenny.
Indeed, yes.
Which I hadn't heard about the film, but I had heard about the book.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, hold on. Let's tell people what My Name is Lenny is about and who Lenny was, those who don't know.
I mean, obviously, Noel will know a bit about this, but Lenny McLean was a legendary East London figure, I suppose, whose book, The Governor, was a book that sold all over the world, millions of copies, and I think most people will know him from his cameo or appearance in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels with Guy Ritchie. Which was near the end of his life, actually. He wasn't very well on that shoot. But his story lives on, and the book's been, you know, around for a long time, and the film's been up and running for about 10, 12 years. And bizarrely, just as I came in, it shows you how international this guy is. There's a tweet from Mickey Rourke from saying, you know, he's sent a picture of, like, the Governor photo, you know, book cover. So I've heard there's a film coming out about your life. Rest in peace, Lenny. You were the only original Street Fighter.
Wow.
So, you know, it just shows you how far his story has travelled. And the film's about his life, his times, and his
set
rise.
Set in the 70s?
Yeah, late 70s, 1977, 78 time. Yeah. We've seen there's three legendary fights, if you look on YouTube, with a guy called Roy Shaw, which we've got Michael Bisping.
Pretty Boy.
Yeah, Pretty Boy Shaw. So we've
and
got
that's played by
Michael Bisping.
You know, a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Michael Bisping, yeah.
So he came
UFC middleweight champion of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really lucky with the cast. We've got, you know, a great guy called Josh Hellman playing Lenny McLean.
Yeah.
The legendary Sir John Hurt, unfortunately, passed away this year.
Yes.
Chanel Cresswell from This Is England, a brilliant BAFTA award-winning actor.
Yes.
And Nick Moran, who knew Lenny from Lockstock.
Wow.
And Charlie Rothwell Palmer, who's a great up-and-coming actor as well. So, you know, the script was tight, it attracted great cast, and we shot it last September in North and East London, so it was great.
I remember when Michael was here, actually, doing that. Yeah. So, mate, and how was it shooting with all those cars together? Like, when you looked at them on set, were you like, man, this is surreal, bearing in mind that the story's been around for so long?
Well, it's interesting, you know, for Jamie, the son of Lenny, I mean, they've been trying to get the film up and running for about 12 years. And I think Jason Statham was originally looked at it, and there's been other great actors who've looked at it. So for him, it was a real sort of journey to get that film actually being recorded. And, you know, it was very emotional times when the wardrobe fitting came in and Josh walked onto set.
Yeah.
And when you're adapting life stories, it's a very different relationship you have. I mean, you know this as much
of course,
Noel.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, as a storyteller, you come into the other people's worlds. And I sometimes feel like you're a vulture. You kind of go in and grab parts of people's lives. But these are lived experiences. So there's a very real sense of responsibility about it. But then when you get the cast there and they're in costume and it's 1970s and we're working men's club.
Amazing.
And Jamie's welling up because he's almost seen a kind of apparition of his father walking in.
Yeah.
And people know Lenny, sort of double blinking. And the voice and suddenly, you know, Michael's there playing Roy Shaw. And we're recreating this kind of mad... unlicensed boxing world in North East London in a great working men's club. And it's, you know, I don't know if you, but when great actors turn up on set, you feel very privileged to be with them. And,
yeah, it's
and,
amazing you know, to watch,
know,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
because you know you're making something special.
Yeah. Well, we hope so. I mean, I think it's a unique film and it surprised people.
And if people don't know the story of Lenny, where does the film sort of start from and pick up on, and where does it, what's the sort of arc of this of Lenny?
Well, we worked with the script for about two or three, you know, the script had been developed for a long time, and the version of it came to me last February. And I said, look, let's try and compress everything that's about that happened in his life and his childhood and those three great fights, and maybe tell a kind of story that gets to the heart of his life and also goes into what constructed this really hyper-masculine, hyper-violent and slightly dysfunctional character. And we create the epic three-act structure around the idea of, we kind of catch him on the verge of losing everything. People that he loves, the world that he's created, and, you know, a dysfunctional past that's haunting the present. So on one level, it's been sold as a quite a tough movie about street fighting, but on another level, it's about madness and chaos. And you know, funny enough, as you do work, you come across quotes that seem to you know, express what the film's about. And there's a great quote by Frederick Douglass that I came across as towards the end of the film, which was like, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. And it's suddenly, I read that quote within 2 weeks of finishing all the post-production. I think in a weird way, that was what we were trying to do with the film, you know.
That's a great quote, actually. And so, how many fights did Lenny have in his life?
I think he was fighting like twice a week on the streets, on the cobbles, as they say. Bare knuckle, unlicensed, anything goes. And deep within him, there's a rage. And he could kind of get to that rage very quickly and be the most destructive thing and the most formidable thing. I think because his pain threshold was so vast. But weirdly, as you do the research, a lot of the street fighters and cage fighters, there are lots of stories of kind of physical, mental, emotional, and sometimes sexual abuse, especially in the current trend. And it was fascinating for us when we did the research. We had, they've got this great fighter called Decker Heckey. He's the current street fighting champion of Great Britain. You know, bullied. And he's like this quiet gentleman from the Northwest.
But just one day decided, I'm not having it.
He's not having it. Just changed his life around. And I was watching a lot of Grayson Perry about masculinity at the time. And there's this idea of some sort of catharsis takes place. You know, that through violence, there's a kind of emotional understanding that these guys have of themselves, and then they get beyond it, which was fascinating.
Well, there was a thing saying that if you're someone who punches something, basically that is you there's a wire wrong in your expressing yourself emotionally. So what you should be doing is there's like healthy ways to get certain things out that are painful. Crying or talking it out, or there's lots of ways to de-stress yourself. But if that was like stubbed from an early age, if you were taught not to use those methods, it physically comes out as a punch. And if you're someone who will you punch something, it's actually like it's a sign that you've wired it wrong, essentially.
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of cross wires going on in the film, and I think I won't give too much away. You'll see those misfires and. And you know, it's a visceral movie. It's upsetting. It's powerful. And
And so, just so people know, the film is getting put out by Lionsgate Distribution.
Yeah, they did all right with your movie, didn't they?
Yeah, big studio. They did Brotherhood as well.
I'm joking. I mean, obviously, you had massive success of that. And congratulations.
We love Lionsgate.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but my point is like, if some people are sitting there going, well, you know, it's another East End film. It's not. You know, but it's a big studio putting out. Lionsgate are backing it, so essentially, you know, people aren't just going to think, they could think, oh, this is a legit movie, you know, as opposed to...
Yeah, we know what genre we're talking about, and it's the kind of Mockney Cockney thing, and I think there's two versions of that. I mean, I personally hated Legend. I thought it was a kind of a West End version of East London, and I've also hated films like, you know, The Rise of the Kreis, because I think that's just the kind of a bravado thing. It's selling... you know, cliches in many ways, you know, and no disrespect to the filmmakers, which I've just done. but, you know, it wasn't the sort of, I mean, there's an audience for it. It wasn't the sort of film we wanted to make, do you know what I mean?
I did like Legend, because I like Tom Hardy, really.
Yeah, I think a lot of
that's
people
different,
did.
Though. That's
I know,
different.
It's different.
Fancying him going, it's different too. So the film is out when exactly? That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, we've got a big launch on June 9th at the East London Film Festival.
Boom, exactly.
At the York Hall, 1,200 of East London's finest will be in attendance.
Fantastic.
And it's on general release. Across the UK for that weekend, and as ever with these sort of British independent movies, we have a quick fire simultaneous release coming out the week after that.
Fantastic. So. Well, that's the way now of a lot of the films, man, to maximise the audience is to really, you know, kind of get them straight out on the digital, so people at home can be like, mate, I want that, you know.
I think that's the case, you know. I go to the Holloway Odeon, you see the big budget movies and you see the children movies that I love and take the family to and enjoy, but yeah, it's very hard with British dramas now to encourage the audience to go, and it's sort of a diminishing returns in a way. The less people go to British movies, the less companies feel endorsed to invest.
I've said it a million
times. And you've got
to
reverse the trend, and also the whole idea of what a working class character is and how we portray that.
For
it's
sure.
just endless, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult.
It also opens up a lot of not work, not just behind the screens, because if people are working in, because you filmed it in East London,
sure.
or part, so you've got people can work in that area, and also for actors who necessarily aren't like, you know, the Hollywood type, and then they get roles.
Yeah, I don't want to get too kind of class orientated about it, but you know, I was brought up on Alan Clark,
yeah.
and you look at the actors that came out of the Alan Clark School of Films, Tim Roth. Gary Oldman,
yeah.
Ray Winston,
yeah.
to name but a few. Do you know what I mean?
Let alone, you know, class boys.
And you know, there were stories there that allowed these actors to go on to become like, well, you know, massive, great actors. You know, there's just got to be more stories like that, for more diverse stories with different voices. You know,
but you know, like you said, it becomes difficult because we get pumped so full of American things that the British audience kind of are blinded, and when a British film comes on, they don't always go out to the cinema to support it, which then makes it more difficult for the studios to put them in a cinema, and it becomes this vicious circle.
Absolutely.
Break the circle, people.
Break the circle.
Spread the word.
Yeah, go out and see it. I think you'll be, in a weird way, it's nothing like being in the cinema. You know, we've got 1,200 there at the York Hall, and I know there'll be other cinemas doing a live Q&A, but you know,
yeah, being in a cinema is a better. Yeah. It's such an experience, man. Yeah, I love the cinema. I've been taking my boys, my oldest boy, been going to cinema since he was 18 months, and I've done the same with the other two. And I, you know, they love the cinema. They love going to cinema with daddy. So I always encourage people to go to the cinema.
I'm like, once or twice a week with my kids. It's like, all alone. You know, I can't go back.
Good dads.
Yeah, good dads.
Good daddy points.
Or lazy dads.
You.
We never know. Sit there, feed them popcorn. Or, you know, I don't know.
Watch that. Eat a popcorn and shut up.
Brilliant. Right, we're talking about My Name Is Lenny, which is going to be out June 9th. Yep, that's
correct. Yeah.
Make sure you go and support, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting us in.
Thank you so much.
Great luck
man.
With the show. I really enjoyed the show. And the hip hop is really good as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it.
All right, let's have a little bit more on then. Let's see if you like this.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks.
I flood the speakers with heat seekers and keep sneakers cleaner than nunnery pussy, evening to Easter. I leave my prints on a keister. I suck the clear to release it. If it will please her, I'll meal to her. Best believe, make a meal of her. Thank you. Told a preacher I love her. He said that God was her lover. I said if he really loves her, then he would love them with lovers. I walk around in a bubble of fucking scoundrel in trouble. A nippy time make a rumble. The venue grind in a rubble. Give me a 10 and a double. I spit your face like some aces. I got a fragrance of wearing. Call I was shit on his basis. The money want me to have it. I have a hunger for data. I'm crunching numbers and crack unbreakable safe while I'm at it. I'm doing more than just rapping. You have to grant me that doubt when you arrive on a map. Just know that this is not where you at. I'm not on your map. I'm a mystery to you, captain the industry. If the medic is missing me, automatic is victory.
I'm the shit. Looking at the money like it's mine to get. I'm the shit, bitch. Everybody down, throw the pistol to fit. I'm the shit. We looking at the money like it's mine to get. I'm the shit, bitch. Everybody lie, throw the pistol and fit.
Grimy and greedy, made it to Grammy committees. Got told that we spit it to bitches that would never see victory. And I refuse to play humble as though my dick itty bitty. I got banana dick, yo bitch go ape shit if she hit it. Meanwhile, you too nervous, service, that's why you never get service. And me, I called the preacher's wife, working folks under service. I put my hand up a skirt and then we pray for a purpose. I baptized her in Jesus' name, left her shaking and squirting. Ooh, I shot the Sunday school and did that shit there on purpose. See, I'm a pervert with purpose to make you question your purpose. Run the jewels, arrive on the arenas, bust up like Thursday hyenas to get revenge on the kingdoms that killed the dreams of the dreamers. Drink alcohol for the demons to mingle with all of the schemers. You see, he grew with the people, move with the mind of a genius. You see, he working the angle, so he ain't never an angel. They wanna get to the hangar, but get them fuckers a finger.
I'm the shit. Looking at the money like it's mine to get.
Taking a train with the praise.
New York is some other shit. Where I used to smoke dust and shit. Now I drop dust and fuckers suck it up and you love this shit. No more games, I'm above this shit. Butter me up for nothing, I'm taking all.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Right, we're coming into land now.
The music's been alright today, I'm going to give you that.
thank you so much.
It's been all right. It's been about 90%. I'm kind of liking it.
Okay, good. I'm catering.
High praise.
I'm catering. Well, I've got Lucy Patterson, resident film reviewer, come in to review some movies.
Yeah.
And joining at home, if you've got any films that you want to rave about or want to tell us that are shit, let us know. It's tweet us at Fubar Radio. We will shout you out, or email chill@fubarradio.com.
Tell us about the films.
Because I've seen some stuff and I want to review it. Yeah. Lucy, you can go first.
Lucy's it.
Okay.
Do it.
I'm going to just quickly mention Alien Covenant because you talked about it quite a lot of detail last week. I went to see it. I wasn't overwhelmed by it.
Did you like it?
I liked it. But then if you've seen any Alien film, then you've seen them all. Mm. You know, it's quite gory and quite violent, and I liked that. And a highlight for me was seeing Danny McBride in a relatively straight role. Yeah. It was nice to see him, you know, prove his acting chops. And there was little bits of his personality that came through, which was nice to see as well. I mean, go and see it if you like the Alien films, because you do learn some origin stories of the actual aliens and things like that. So, and it's a beautifully made film. You know, and I like the fact that there was a slightly retro score to it. Yeah. It sounded a bit Star Trek-y, you know, and I quite like that. So, yeah, go and see that.
I like the sort of pathogen storyline. It's a bit,
I did.
A bit zombie-esque.
I did, but you didn't actually get any origin to that either. Like, my friend Lee actually messaged me earlier saying, you know, we didn't really know where that came from. Like, where did you get the dust? his exact words.
Well, is it connected to Prometheus?
Yeah, it's like...
So is that the dust from the thing that made the thing in the eye in Prometheus?
This is 10 things. Yeah, this is 10 years after Prometheus.
Is the girl still in it?
Which girl?
The one that escaped on the ship.
She died.
She's gone.
She did.
Don't want to give too many spoilers.
But this film, it gives origins to the origins, but we need origins for these origins.
For these origins. It needs to go a bit further back, you know. It's a bit,
I'm not sold by you guys' description.
I think it was a good trip to the cinema. Like,
it wasn't wasted.
It was everything, it was an alien movie.
Yeah. Like I said, if you like the alien movies, then go and see it, because it delivers on what an alien movie should deliver on, you know.
I was scared of the alien, and I watched it on my own.
Yeah, that was pretty jumpy, actually, I must admit. You're very brave doing that, Johanna. I'm very proud of you.
Yeah. Well, I had to see it because I was interviewing Danny McBride.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to force myself.
Not much choice there.
No. So
hey, Danny, how are you? Haven't seen your fucking film, but...
No, exactly. Tell me about it.
Like, it's great.
Yeah, so I went to see that, and I thought, okay, I'm going to see something else, because obviously you spoke about it last week. So I went to see Mindhorn.
Mind.
You know, any time a British film comes out, I have to go to the cinema and support it, you know, whether I think it's going to be shit or not. Mindhorn is Julian Barrett of The Mighty Boosh.
Yes.
He's basically a washed-up old TV star that used to be a detective called Mindhorn, funny enough. And it's a murder mystery, and it's typical Julian Barrett humour. You know, so I did laugh out loud. It was funny.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Russell Tovey is in it. And... you know, he might be a nice guy now, but he actually ripped my friend's heart out when we were in our 20s. So whenever I see his face, it ruins things. So if you haven't got a thing against Russell Tovey, go and see it. Go and support this British film and laugh. It is funny. It's well made in the sense that they've dumbed things down so much it looks like it's supposed to be terrible.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Oh, right, yeah.
And they've done it really well to take the gloss off of it.
Yeah.
And it's got a very impressive cast as well. So, yeah, go and see it and support the British
Mindhorn.
Film.
I've seen loads of promo pictures of it all on the tube and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like 70s style. He's got big tash and stuff. Yeah.
I've seen absolutely nothing, mainly because I haven't been in the country for
I was going to say, you have Mindhorn. Got an excuse, I suppose.
I might have a new cartwheel thing for that. So it made you go...
Yeah.
Yes.
Things that make you go...
That's a good one.
Okay, cool.
Has that always been there, or is that new?
No, that's just popped up.
Oh, lovely.
Fantastic.
After your request. Well done, Abby.
Well done. I like that.
So I watched Snatched.
Oh, I'm so happy you did. I'm going to go and see that.
Yeah, which was Amy Schumer and... Thingamy Bob's mum.
Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, different names.
Kate Hudson.
I can hear Kate Hudson. I was like, the mum's not called Hudson, not right. So I don't know what that yet. Which was, I'm really excited to see, which was good, but I think I overestimated how funny it was going to be because I love Amy Schumer.
I do. She's
so
amazing.
I went in there like, yeah,
this is gonna be brilliant.
And I was kind of like, I wasn't as hysterical as I thought it was going to be.
But I feel like her films a kind of watered down her humour. Because if you watch her Amy Schumer show her stand-up, she's really funny. But then Trainwreck was like mildly amusing at best. John Cena was the funniest thing in there, and he's a wrestler. So I'm not surprised that this one was.
Really she sort of has to water it down, because otherwise everything would be, you know, 18 R-rated, and she'd lose a huge chunk of audience.
I think times have changed. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago they would never dare make an R-rated superhero movie.
That is very true.
And then you know, there was Kick-Ass, and everyone was like, "Oh, that kind of works," but it only worked because it wasn't a comic book that we all knew about.
Yeah.
And then there was like Logan's just come out and was R-rated.
God, that film's so good.
Deadpool.
Yeah,
so why
it.
You know Sausage Party was an adult animation. So why should Amy Schumer actually walk down a comedy? Maybe what she should do is a film where her comedy is as it should be.
Yeah.
And I bet you there are so many girls who'd be like, "That's what I've been thinking," but no one's ever wanted to say it.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon.
There was some very good there were some really good moments in there, and it's a mother-daughter movie, and so obviously then there was like the drama bit of it as well, where there are obviously dysfunctional mother and daughter and they kind of like work it out, and so it was good, and I think there was perfect casting. I think she like Goldie Hawn really just stepped up and
excellent.
I don't think she's done a film in something like 5 years.
It's been a while.
So she's
I couldn't tell you what her last one was.
Yeah, yeah, she's come out of retirement for this. I think she's done really well.
Has she really though? Or has she just been chilling? She might be offended if she hears this. Like, out of retirement.
Movie retirement. Well, she's been off the game a little bit. So I thought it was good. Mm. And I thought it was a random story. So that's sort of mum and daughter. The daughter gets dumped.
Yeah.
So she has to take her mum on holiday to like fill this non-refundable.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Putting the fun in non-refundable. It's still a line there.
Nice.
And they end up going to Ecuador and then getting kidnapped, snatched. But I thought it was going to be, a little bit more, considering like it's called Snatched, which is like, you know.
Yeah.
A play on vaginas.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
The snatch.
Really?
Yeah. Snatch is a vagina.
I didn't know that.
Are you just trying to get a vagina again?
No, he knew that.
Stop it, my mum's listening.
Come on. How could I not know? Girls, I'm disappointed in both of you.
Yeah,
how would I not know?
Have you ever used it in a sentence?
Yeah.
I've never,
please,
ever referred to it
gross.
As my snatch.
No.
You just did.
But not really.
What do you call it then? On a little sidetrack.
My beauty.
My beauty.
You do not.
Excuse me while I vomit into this mug.
I'm going to call it that from now on, though. That's amazing.
Yeah, my beauty. No,
my beauty.
My fanny. I say fanny.
It's fanny.
I say fanny.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
How classy you guys are.
Yeah, I know.
You're my fanny. You're my fanny. Yeah, you're my fanny. Yeah, me,
if I'm being particularly Essex, it's nunny.
You're nunny.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
That's an Essex thing.
Anyway, back onto film.
Anyway, away from the fannies.
So I thought that it was good. It was good. And if you want to go, I think it would be really great to go just as, with mates or girlfriends to have a laugh.
I'm not sold.
I'm definitely going to go.
I did want to see it, but I think I was just picking it up way too much in my mind, so I disappointed myself. I wish I'd gone in just like.
That's the thing.
So
you
guys,
go in
the
with
girls
these,
are saying, go see Snatch,
yeah,
and go see Alien Covenant.
Go see Snatch. Go see Alien Covenant.
And go see Mindhorn as well.
And Mindhorn, the British film.
Don't forget. Yeah.
And I finished Riverdale on Netflix,
Riverdale.
Which I was very happy about that. And they've commissioned season 2.
No, I'm so excited about that.
And apparently,
oh man,
I know.
What world am I?
It's
what
so
world
good.
Am I landed? These two were like complete like twin sisters. Riverdale. Oh yeah, and I love it. Me too. I'm so excited about that. Oh, and Mindhorn. Oh, and Amy Schumer. Oh yeah, I saw that as well. Oh, Alien Covenant. I didn't like. Well, I know. I mean, what have I fell back into?
But it's true.
I
hardly ever fangirl, and I'm one of the. I used to think I was like. This,
oh, check
no, it. I do. No.
I used to be this weird, like, feel like an alien. I didn't fancy anyone. Everyone's like, oh my God, Justin Bieber. And like, David Beckham. I'm like, nothing. am I gay? Nothing's going on. And I finally found someone that I can perv over.
Yeah.
Jughead. Just what's the guy's name? What's
Colson
the
guy?
Cole Sprouse. Who?
Oh my God.
Was,
no.
Who was Ben
you
from
guys
Friends?
Should go to jail.
Oh, no.
Cole Sprouse is the little kid from Big Daddy. Right?
I know.
And he was in Friends.
I do feel
as like
really
a 5-year-old.
He plays Ross's son
I know.
In Friends, which
and
is
now
weird.
You guys are like juicing over him.
Well,
like, this is not
I've
good.
Got like 10 years on Johanna as well, so I'm probably worse.
But it's It's okay. He's like 24. That's fine. He's 24.
Is he?
Yeah. That's completely acceptable.
We checked.
We have already
together,
checked.
You checked together.
Bullshit. We've already been like, are we allowed to? Yeah, we are legally allowed to masturbate to this person. It's fine.
Exactly.
He's
gorgeous. And do you know what? Cole Sprouse, he is going places.
Definitely.
He's not just someone nice to look at. He's acting everybody off the show.
He is. And he's an amazing photographer as well. Because obviously I stalked his Instagram.
Oh my God. Right, guys. It's been great. I've been so glad to be back. I'm going to see you next week, maybe. Or the week after or something. See you later.
Love it.
Noel's gone.
Bye.
Too feminine. Too many fannies.
Sorry, did someone say my favourite word?
but I recommend it. And I love the fact that it's so 50s, because they've taken it from the 50s comics, so they've kept that 50s style.
I think it's beautifully made.
And the way that they filmed it, just cinematography-wise, is beautiful. Everything's neon lights.
Did you guys ever read the comics? Because I used to read Archie comics back in the day, so I know all about Archie and Betty, I think, and
Betty,
Jughead. I don't remember the blonde one. I don't remember the other one's name, but...
Veronica,
yeah. Because I used to read those comics. Archie and the gang.
If everyone's like, what is this Riverdale? What? It's actually about this twin brother and sister go into the woods on the 4th of July and the brother gets murdered. And it's a whodunit in the town. And anybody, or everybody, could have technically probably
done everybody's
it.
Got some sort of motive and everybody's got some sort of suspicion on them.
But then on top of that, they've got...
And this is on what, Netflix?
This is on Netflix. Netflix original. It's got gorgeous like neon Riverdale. It looks like...
Maybe I'll check it out.
It is so beautifully
made,
I don't know if
it's going to be up your street, Noel. But as a kind of like fast-paced drama, they just swish it along. It's brilliant.
And for the cinematography,
but I have a problem,
though.
If I start something, I have to watch it.
Really?
Well, then you better start it.
Well, maybe I shouldn't.
And it's
Johanna
all on
said
there.
She's not sure if it's up my street.
I don't know if it's up your street, Noel.
So if I watch it, I have to finish it, which is an annoying thing I have.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. Because, you know, you never know if something's going to be genius right at the end.
No,
you might
don't.
Watch a film and think, well, this is terrible, and then at the end something happens, you're like, oh my God, that's genius.
That happens a lot.
So it does happen.
Changes the tone of the film completely. You just think, oh my God, I just watched an amazing thing. I kind of have to watch Split.
I recommend.
Yeah, watch Split.
You go home and watch Split, and I'm going to go rewatch Riverdale just for the end.
Oh, well, I need to watch the last episode because I didn't realise there was another one.
Goodness.
Okay, and anything else that any era people should check out, girls?
That was what I did for the week. I've had a very, very busy week. I was going to play, if we've got time. No, we don't have time.
What was you going to play?
Because I had recently, talk about movies and stuff, I had my last viral video was a horror movie spoof, which got like 20 million views on Facebook, and it was me and my boyfriend. We spoofed horror movie. Maybe I'll play it on the outro.
I think you should.
People can go check it out. But
why don't we play it next week so you get the whole thing? Yeah. So you're not rushing.
Well, I've been trying to play it for 3 weeks now. I always forget. Oh. But you can check it out on my Facebook page, Johanna James.
Yes.
And for sure.
I will go and watch that. It sounds like something I would like.
Never mind. Okay, I'll pick something else to play for the end. I'm going to pick. Actually, this song is from the Angry Birds movie. Though not judge me. It was a fun song.
No,
that was a good film
with a good soundtrack.
Okay,
it opened
Led
Zeppelin.
Angry Birds is a good film. Guys, enjoy the movie. This weekend.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Let us
everyone go and see King Arthur. I'm still not over the fact that it's being ripped to shit.
Oh yeah, I want to see that. Was the next
I'm
one.
Not happy.
I don't
want
to see that.
I'm not
sorry,
go and
coughing.
See. I'm not
I don't
happy.
Want to see that.
All right, well, we can battle this out. Who's going to get you? We're going to have like a finger thumb war here, and I'm going to play out "Wonderful Life" by Matoma.
Have a good weekend.
There's a fire that ignites at the bottom of my heart. Ooh, me, oh my. If we open our eyes, I think we're both gonna find that it's a wonderful life.